the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, September the 25th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The list of accusers against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh continues to swell. Also on the Tuesday rundown, Hurricane Florence snaps North Carolina to attention on the importance of food benefits. Plus, a new report says young parents need better supports. Topping our news, it was a roller coaster day of new developments on Monday. New accusers are now alleging sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. He represents a woman with credible information regarding Judge Kavanaugh and his friend, Mark Judge. Quoting Avenatti, will be demanding the opportunity to present testimony to the committee and will likewise be demanding that Judge and others be subpoenaed to testify. Meantime, at this hour, a major question mark remains over whether the original accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, will testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Thursday. This week, members of Congress expected to release a compromised version of the Farm Bill that could impact the future of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for people in North Carolina and the rest of the country. Stephanie Carson explains why it's further complicating things for people in the eastern part of the state.
It comes at a time when the food assistance program is sustaining residents of eastern North Carolina, still confronting the devastation of Hurricane Florence. Jessica Wichard with the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina says her organization serves 600,000 people, and the uncertainty around the SNAP program isn't helping.
When people have already been struggling with food and then after a storm hits, to be concerned about losing those benefits at the same time, it just kind of magnifies the devastation that exists for them.
In advance of the storm, the state's Department of Health and Human Services temporarily modified food assistance rules to make food more accessible to people as they confront loss of power, water, and shelter. On Monday, Governor Roy Cooper called for a special state assembly session to discuss relief efforts. While it's unclear what Congress will propose in the new version of the Farm Bill, the House version included significant cuts to the program that Wichard and others say could be devastating.
And Talking Points memo reports after a tumultuous morning of conflicting reports that he was resigning or maybe fired, it appears Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will stay in his current position for at least a few more days. They report speculation that Rosenstein was about to be ousted from the number two spot reached a fever pitch as he headed to a White House meeting on Monday that had been previously scheduled. A government watchdog group is calling Florida's growing system of privately run public charter schools corrupt and wasteful and wants policymakers to impose more rules on how charters spend their money.
Integrity Florida, a nonprofit group that seeks to uncover public corruption, claims many charter school operations have strayed from their original mission of showcasing innovation to help public schools. Ben Wilcox, the group's research director, says charters have become a parallel education system in Florida with hidden costs to taxpayers.
These hidden costs represent a corporate for-profit taxpayer scam that looks more like corporate welfare than it does public education.
Although all charter schools are nonprofits controlled by their own privately selected boards, nearly half of Florida's 650 charter schools are run by for-profit companies. Supporters of charter schools say the report is using a few bad apples to define all charter schools. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Meantime, the sleepless nights and increased costs that come with parenthood are a rude awakening for anyone, but Mary Sherman reports the challenge is often greater for young parents.
For some of South Carolina's young adults, the already challenging transition to adulthood is complicated by becoming a parent. And a report released today explores the unique opportunities to help young adult parents during this period of growth. 51,000 South Carolina kids have a parent between the ages of 18 and 24, and 69% of those children live in low-income families. Bette Williams with the Children's Trust of South Carolina says these young parents need help overcoming educational, financial, and parenting challenges.
This report is a blueprint for how we need to be approaching young parents. What can we do to help them stay in school, continue their learning, and get those jobs that will help provide for their families down the road?
Williams notes the Children's Trust of South Carolina just received a 2-year grant to continue the community support for young parents program.
And finally, Eric Tegetthoff reports that opponents are lining up now against a measure on Idaho's November ballot that would bring horse racing betting terminals back to the state.
Proposition 1 would allow Idahoans to bet on horse races of years past. Supporters of the machine say they'll help boost interest in a declining horse racing industry and that public schools would receive 0.5% of all betting on the terminals. But opponents, including Idaho legislators such as Senator Brent Hill, mayors, and Northwest tribes, call the measure a bait and switch. Attorney Tyrell Stevenson is legislative director for the Coeur d'Alene tribe.
What this is really about is about gambling machines, not horses. And many of the concerns that people in opposition to the proposition have are related to the misleading ways that the proposition has been presented to people.
Supporters of the proposition say oversight would be in place to prevent problems and it would create jobs in the state. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.